So just like everything else having to do with a new administration, the joint session of Congress address this week seemed to land very differently with supporters and opponents. It's also worrisome that whichever of those groups you fall into, it's likely that most of the conversations you had after the speech were with people who tend to agree with your point of view. Multiply that by the national population, and you've got a serious disconnect between two halves of America. A step towards understanding how many of our neighbors hold diametrically opposing points of view can be taken with some reliable facts and figures. And joining me right now is Dr. Robert P. Jones, CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. Robbie, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me back, Welton.
It feels like a real minefield. The minute you start talking about how polarized the nation is right now, do the numbers that you have bear out that level of divisiveness?
Yeah, you know, it's real. So, you know, what people are feeling and seeing in their neighbors and friends and on Facebook, and it's real, and it's different than it was in the past. Part of the deal, I think, is that President Trump's unique profile, I mean, he is still setting records for being the least popular incoming president in the country. So, like, just for example, you know, when George W. Bush came into office in 2001, despite the fact that that was actually a very contentious election that was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court along party lines of judges being appointed by the Democrats and Republicans, so very, very contentious, and yet he walked into office with a 67% favorable rating among the American people. So a lot of Democrats had a favorable view of him. Contrast that with President Trump, who only has a 43% favorable rating. So he's gotten virtually no crossover from the other side of the aisles, and it's almost perfect symmetry. You know, we have 87% of Republicans reporting a favorable view of Trump and 83% of Democrats expressing a negative view. You don't get much more symmetrical than that.
PRRI has released some very interesting findings that are certainly compelling. Talk, if you will, about the disconnect between how Americans see the president's relationship with the Constitution and whether they think there ought to be consequences, please.
Yeah, so we asked because there had already been calls for impeachment and accusations that the president had violated the Constitution, so we decided we would just ask about this and what the American people thought. So we asked it two different ways. One was, do you think that President Trump has acted in a way that violates the U.S. Constitution, or don't you think so? Americans are evenly divided on that question. 47% say yes, he's acted in ways that violate the Constitution. 46% say he has not. But again, it's basically 8 in 10 Democrats saying that he has and about 8 in 10 Republicans saying that he hasn't on the other side. We also asked directly about impeachment. Here it's interesting. We found only about 3 in 10. So just despite the fact that about half the country thinks that he's acted in ways that violated the Constitution, only 3 in 10 Americans say at this point they think he should be impeached. That level is actually not that different than levels for Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and his about 30% of the country at times during their presidency thought that they should be impeached. So, there's this clear sense that maybe he's done some things wrong, but I think there's enough people saying, let's wait and see before we pull the impeachment lever. But still, these numbers I think would be troubling for Trump, and it also certainly, points to just how differently partisans are reading this presidency.
Robbie, is there a bottom line that's pretty much going to stay the same among supporters of Trump?
Well, one of the things that is striking to me is that, what we see, if you look over the long period of time with partisanship, one of the problems we're dealing with is that partisanship now has become part of people's like core identity in ways that it really wasn't a few decades ago. So there's this great question that Stanford University asked in the 1960s, and they asked people, Democrats and Republicans, how upset they would be if their son or their daughter married someone from the opposite political party. And only like 4% of Republicans and 5% of Democrats said that they'd be very upset. back in the 1960s. The question got asked again during Barack Obama's presidency, and by the middle of his presidency, those numbers had jumped to 33% of Democrats and 49% of Republicans saying that they would be very upset if their son or daughter married someone of the opposite political party. And what that basically says, you know, is that it used to be the case that partisanship was something that people took to the ballot box with them. But today, really, what we're seeing is partisanship is something that people are taking to bed with them.
So what about the level of support for the ban on Muslims?
When we asked about this during the campaign season, only about 4 in 10 Americans supported it. Support has actually dropped 5 points. It's down to 35%, so only a little more than a third of Americans actually support this policy. But it's another sign of the Trump administration not really pushing something that has a broad mandate behind it. But the key here is that two-thirds of Republicans support this policy, but only 10% of Democrats do. But, you know, it's delivering a policy to the base. And I think that's one of the, to me, one of the best ways of kind of understanding the way Trump is conceiving of his presidency is that it's less about being president to the whole country. At least, you know, by my lights, the signals he's sending are that he's less concerned about bringing people together and, you know, offering an olive branch to the other side, and more about just delivering to the less than half of Americans who actually voted for him. And, you know, what that means is that he's really is seeing the presidency more along the lines of a kind of hostile corporate takeover than someone who won a Democratic election in a divided country.
Robbie, obviously the biggest division is along party lines, but I'm interested in what your numbers show are the other splits among our countrymen and women.
Well, I mean, the religious divides, as they were in the election, are still pretty interesting here. You and I have talked about this before, but I mean, really since the civil rights movement, where the Democratic Party became kind of identified as the party of civil rights, where white Christians, particularly in the South, then switched parties to be Republicans, that pattern has been with us, and you can see it on a lot of these issues. So, you know, at the ballot box, it was essentially white Christian voters, particularly white evangelical voters, supporting Trump, and non-white Christian voters and kind of everyone else, non-Christian religious people, religiously unaffiliated people supporting the Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton. And we see those same divides. So like on the issue that we were just talking about on the temporary travel ban for Muslims, the only group that's in support of this are white evangelical Protestants, which was the group who voted 81% for Donald Trump in the elections. And so it really is this base group, again, that Trump is, I think, delivering. So today, 61% of white evangelical Protestants support temporarily banning Muslims from other countries. Among white Catholics, it's actually dropped to 44%. It's actually dropped among white mainline Protestants. It's down at 39%. And among non-white Protestants, so African-American Protestants, Latino Catholics, it's only 27%. And what's also remarkable is that the only group in the religious landscape that has moved in a more positive direction on this issue is white evangelical Protestants. And we're kind of seeing that pattern that white evangelicals are essentially aligning their political priorities with the new president.
A lot of us are seeing the current political situation as a last gasp effort to somehow hang on to the kind of America that you wrote about in your book, the end of white Christian America.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been getting a lot of emails saying, you want to put an asterisk on the end of that book title? You know, the end of white Christian America, maybe we're not quite there. Fair enough, I mean, because we're seeing, I think, some big consequences. But I think here's the thing, is that, you know, as I continue to look at the data and the trends, you know, we are still seeing the trends moving only in one direction. That is, the country becoming more diverse, less white, less Christian, and more religiously and ethnically diverse. Like, those are the ongoing trends, and nothing in this election really has changed that. I mean, what we're seeing, though, I think is, I think what the Trump administration really is going to do, we're seeing a lot of the evidence of this, is kind of prop up by force, you know, a kind of bulwark against the broader trends in the culture. But, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, will we look back and see this election as the resurrection of white Christian America? I don't think so. You know, I think what we'll see is this election really is the last gasp or a kind of death rattle of that world as it tries to hang on to power as, you know, all the cultural winds are blowing the other direction. It's a little hard to see right now, I think, given just the vast changes. But I guess one other thing I'd say is it's really important to remember, though, I mean, this election came down to a little over 77,000 votes across three states. That's what the Electoral College victory depended upon. So it was razor, razor thin. And, you know, it in many ways, I think, was kind of a rabbit out of a hat that cuts against the grain of the longer trends, none of which have changed.
Dr. Robert P. Jones is CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. A wealth of insights is available on the Institute website at prri.org. Robbie, I really wanted to talk with you, so thanks for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks so much, Welton. Always happy to be here.